All right, that was fun. I you know, one of the things that as I was sensing a call of God into ministry, one of the things that always looked really stressful was child dedications, because the pastors used to like hold the kid and pray, and it was like the kid's gonna scream. I just have this gift of helping kids like freak out, and so we don't do that, and Pastor Luann is much better with children than I am. I love kids. I do. I don't give peace to them necessarily. I think it works with my own kids. They seem well balanced. You know, it's just one of those things. So, but it's so wonderful to see how parents are having these children and just bringing them to God and saying these children are a gift to us, and we want to steward and raise them the best we can. And it's just a beautiful moment of just dedication and bringing them to God and just asking us for help in discipling their kids in the ways of Jesus. So today we're kind of jumping around to the end of Luke because this week is Ascension Week. So we finished off Easter and everything, and part of the church calendar, depending on which church calendar you look at, it's Ascension Week. So it's Ascension Sunday. It actually, the actual day is on this Thursday, which is 40 days after Easter, when Ascension is celebrated in the church calendar. So we're going to be looking at that today, staying in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to dabble just a little bit into a few verses in Acts, because Luke and Acts are very interconnected, same author, very similar connection there, and there's part of that ascension experience in the book of Acts. And so we're going to just go a little bit into that as well. But it's just a wonderful time to be able to recognize who Jesus is, who Jesus was, and how the disciples related to who Jesus was. So the disciples were struggling. So we know that there were all the events that happened. So Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. He was brought down. He rose after 3 days. He appeared a few times. But the disciples are really struggling because their world fell apart. They had spent 3 years learning from Jesus, 3 years spending every moment with him, and they were just dependent on being present with Jesus, being around Jesus all the time. And yet now they're in this time of, okay, we're not sure where Jesus is right now. He appears every once in a while for these short moments, but we're not exactly clear on what the next step is. And they're waiting for instructions. They're waiting for something to happen in order to really have a sense of repurpose in life. And they're looking for the presence of Jesus, because they're like, we've lost that presence of Jesus, and we just want to get back and spend time with Jesus. But he's not here. He's not here for more than a few moments at a time. And they want the peace that they sensed when they were with Jesus. I imagine that being in the presence of Jesus, there would have been just this overwhelming sense of peace, being in the presence of God. They also had a sense of purpose, that anytime they're around Jesus, first of all, just being with Jesus, listening to Jesus, spending time with Jesus, even when he's not talking, would have had a tremendous amount of purpose. But they had lost that because they didn't have him around. And then they were waiting about this thing that Jesus was talking about, this promise that he gave them, this promise of the council, this promise that he was not going to leave them alone. And yet they were like, okay, where's that promise? Because all we feel is absence. All we feel is that Jesus isn't here. And that, as well as they're grieving deeply the loss of Jesus. And so they're wondering, what is this promise and when will it be absolutely fulfilled? So let's look at Luke chapter 24. It's the last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look at the last few verses in there. And here's what it says. Jesus appears to his disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Isn't it funny how someone says peace and suddenly you feel everything but peace? right? They're freaking out. They think they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. As you see, I have flesh and bones." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in their presence to build connection with them through eating together. So they're seeing Jesus and they're absolutely frightened. Why would that be the reaction when they see Jesus? Well, I mean, they had embraced the full fact that Jesus was no longer in his normal presence. He appears to them every once in a while, a few times, but they're like, every time it's kind of freaks people out. Because it's like, you know, you're supposed to be dead. You're not supposed to be here. And they were worried because their leader, their rabbi, their teacher, their friend was killed. And they're thinking, am I next? Am I next? If they killed him, maybe they're going to come and kill me. And they were afraid and they were hiding because they were wondering, how far is this persecution going to be pushed? Because people know that we were with him. People know that we followed him. People know that we listen to his teaching and that we want to be his followers and his messengers in this world. You see, the disciples were experienced in the physical presence of God, the physical presence of Jesus. They had that privilege. They had that blessing in their lives. But that blessing came with a negative side, that the physical presence was taken away. Could you imagine getting used to the physical presence of Jesus? That he hangs out with you all the time, that he eats all your meals with you, and then that's taken away? That'd be pretty hard of a transition, wouldn't it? Very difficult transition to go through. They had comfort and understanding and peace in his physical presence, but his death took that away. You see, we have times in our lives. Can you think of a time in your life when you sensed the presence of God, the presence of Jesus in a real and a tangible way? Just think about that for a moment. And then think about when you don't feel that. Where you don't feel the presence of Jesus in your life. Where you feel kind of lost and afraid and alone. But do you remember sensing God's presence in a powerful way? And when you do sense God's presence in a powerful way, here's the thing you need to do. You need to write it down. You need to journal those moments. I'm not a big journaler, but every once in a while I have these moments where I'm like, I got to write this down, because if I don't write this down, I'm going to forget it and I need to remember it the rest of my life. Hopefully I won't lose that journal. But there are these moments in our lives where everything sort of kind of comes together and we just sense God's presence in a powerful way. Have you sensed that ever in your life? If you haven't, I encourage you to seek it, because usually it comes in times of trouble, doesn't it? That in times of trouble, it's like all of our self-sufficiency is sort of stripped away and we're more focused on the presence of God, because sometimes it's all we have. When we need to trust God to show up, not because we didn't prepare for something or we made a huge mistake, but because we did all we can in following him and need him to do something, anything, because we have reached our limit. We've reached our limit of how far we can go, but how much we can do. And we're at the end of that. And it might be a hard time. It might be some kind of project we're doing. It might be something that we're trying to get done. And we come to our limit. We're like, God, I'm not sure if I can take this any further. I need you to step in. And here's the thing. We can reach out to God in those times. We can. Even if we messed up, even if we didn't prepare, we can reach out to God. And it's not that he's going to rescue us necessarily, but he might give us a little more peace in the midst of that chaos. But you see, here's the thing, that God, no matter how much pain we feel in our lives, and some of us every day is a struggle with pain, he never gets sick of our pain. Did you know that? Because Jesus knows your pain and he doesn't get sick of your pain. He doesn't get sick of hearing about your aches and pains. He cries with us when we're ready to cry. And in fact, there's times where he cries for us when the tears don't come. That's the Jesus that we follow. That's the Jesus that is present with us. He understands us. He understands you. He understands your thoughts, your narratives, your pains, your hurts, your wounds in your life. He understands you. He grieves when you rebel. Absolutely. But he also cheers us on when we succeed. Or when we're struggling, he's cheering us on. He's coaching us on the sidelines. There's times where he's bent over laughing with us or laughing at our silliness. I think I make God laugh all the time. I make Jesus laugh all the time because I do some of the dumbest things. I do. I own it. It's my thing. But I think that God really loves to laugh with us. He's not laughing at you. He's laughing with you. And I think there's so many times that we can laugh with Jesus. Just imagine that happening. Because he gets a kick out of our quirkiness. Not just our giftings, but he gets a kick out of our quirkiness. We all have quirks, don't we? We all do. And he gets a kick out of you. He enjoys being around you and seeing what you're going to do next. And you know what? He's also waiting for us to be with him. He's waiting for us to be with him. So do you long to sense the presence of Jesus in a real and a tangible and a powerful way? And just ask him. Just ask him to be present in your life. Just to help you sense the presence of Jesus. Sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's already there. You just want that sense of him being there with you. So the second thing that the disciples were struggling with is peace. Peace had been taken away when Jesus' presence was taken away. They were troubled and scared and afraid of what could happen to them. And the disciples were focused on their circumstances. And were in this in-between time of not knowing what was next. Not knowing what they were supposed to do. What did some of the disciples do as soon as Jesus resurrected? They're like, well, let's go fishing. Let's go back to what we know. We need some sense of purpose. We need something that we need to do. And all we really need to do without Jesus, or know what to do without Jesus, is go fishing. So let's go fishing. Makes sense. They had to find something of a purpose in their lives. Our world seems to seek peace, doesn't it? More and more than ever before. And yet it seems further away than ever before. People are seeking peace everywhere until they're in traffic, right? Like, what is it about traffic now in Edmonton? It's not just because we have more people and more population and more cars on the road, but it's like people are angry. People are angry out there. There's not a lot of peace when it comes to driving in Edmonton or anywhere for that matter. And yet there's more seeking of peace. People want to be centered. People want to be at peace with themselves, with the earth, with their job, with their car, with whatever. And yet, the more they seek it, they don't necessarily seem to find it. And we think if things are just better on the outside, then I'll have more peace. Or things are just better on the inside, maybe I'll have more peace. But the thing is, only Jesus can bring true peace into our lives. Think about the most peaceful or peace-filled moment that you've had in your life. Was God a part of that? I kind of think he probably was. Where you just had this overwhelming sense of peace. And maybe you've never had that. Maybe you haven't. And that's okay. Seek that. Ask Jesus for that as he's in your life. Because he is the one who gives us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And he's the only one who can bring it. Well, let's look on in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures and suddenly understand the fact that the Old Testament is about Jesus. Isn't that incredible? So he opened their minds. So that they could finally understand, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things. You are my witnesses to these things. That's the third thing that the disciples were missing up until now. A sense of purpose. A sense of purpose. Because their purpose was unclear until Jesus entered the room. And when Jesus was with them, they had a clear sense of purpose. Be with Jesus. Now Jesus wasn't with them. So what is the purpose? You will be my witnesses. Jesus restored their sense of purpose as he became present with them. And they finally understood for the first time, you're not just going to be fishing for fish. You're going to be fishing for people. And what that means is that they will be drawn to you because of me. And you will be my witnesses. You see, doing a task without a sense of purpose sometimes loses meaning, doesn't it? I remember being on the job site. I was in an entrepreneurial family in construction. And so, you know, it's part of the family business. So from the time you're 4 years old, you go on the job site. It's probably not the safest thing. And I think it's illegal now, but it was legal back in the 80s. But at 10 years old, my dad gave me a task. And we were building this church outside of town. And he gave me this task, and I didn't really have a real sense of purpose. I think he just gave it to me so that I would be busy and not get into trouble, and so that he could go do something else and supervise the other guys. So I was by myself and near the kind of the office trailer thing outside of the city at this church building, and he gave me a task, and I got a little distracted because, you know, being kind of next to a farm, We had some stray cats that started to kind of make their home around the job site. I'm like, oh, cats, those are nice. Hey, those cats don't really have a home. So I got a little distracted and I started to build a home for the cats instead of doing the task that my dad gave me. I don't even remember what it was, but it was fun to build a home for the cats. And I had some hay bales and it was like a really nice thing. And I just said, what are you doing? I said, well, the cats need a house. Well, that's not what I asked you to do. I said, well, you know, one thing led to another and I did this. You see, I didn't have a sense of purpose in what he did, but it sounds like a really great sense of purpose to build a cat house, right? And these are stray cats. Like, it's good to have them around. They eat mice or whatever. And so I thought, well, they just need a place to sleep or, you know, lay around during the day, whatever. But the thing is, we need a sense of purpose, don't we? And for me, I found it easier to do tasks in construction when I knew the purpose of the task. It's like, hey, sweep this floor. Well, why am I sweeping this floor? Well, so it gets clean. Well, why does it need to be clean? You know, all these things. This is a dialogue. My dad was so patient at times, right? Anyway, but the thing is, where do we find peace and where do we find purpose in our lives? We need a sense of purpose. We need an understanding of why we do things. And even for the disciples, we got to understand, they didn't have the whole New Testament to figure this out. That didn't exist. All they had was Jesus. He's taken away. Now what? I don't know what to do. I have no purpose. What is the purpose? Well, remember his words? Wow, we didn't write them down yet. Right? And Jesus hadn't opened their minds and their souls to the whole of Scripture to be able to really understand what the last 3 years meant. And suddenly they had a purpose. But you see, we need a sense of purpose in our lives. And if we look to the book of Ecclesiastes, that's a book we don't necessarily look at very often, do we? Ecclesiastes, it's a book of wisdom, and it's attributed to Solomon, so he might have been the one who wrote it. But the author looked for peace and purpose in everything, but it never worked. It never worked. He looked for it in pleasure and began to hate life. Wow. So it's not about pleasure. He looked it for peace and for purpose in labor, but began to envy the dead because it was just too hard and there didn't seem to be an end to the labor that existed. He looked for peace and purpose in wealth, but it escaped like the wind because wealth comes and goes and just doesn't stick around. He looked for it in wisdom even. Now that seems a little more noble, doesn't it? He looked for it in wisdom, but lost any sense of quietness and peace. So friends, when we look for a sense of purpose in our lives and it doesn't look like Jesus, we end up just like the author of Ecclesiastes and realizing, oh, this is another dead end that has no purpose whatsoever. You see, peace comes not necessarily by seeking it, but when a purpose has slipped out of life, peace comes back in. Let me say that again because I don't think I said it properly. All right. Peace comes not by seeking it, but when a purpose that has slipped out of life suddenly comes back in, peace is restored. So friends, we need to be seeking. We need to be understanding. We need to be focusing on what the purpose of our lives are in Christ Jesus. Because when we do that, when we discover it, when we embrace it, when we live in it, when we lean into it, peace is oftentimes the result of living into that purpose. The disciples lost their purpose for a time when Jesus died, and now their peace is restored in that their purpose has re-given and returned to them without Jesus' physical presence. So in your life, where do you find purpose? Where is your purpose in life? And how do you find peace in your sense of purpose as you live that out? Jesus says, "You are my witnesses." In that, we find a tremendous purpose, don't we? Not just that physical witness, but we have the Word of God. We have the experiences of the Holy Spirit. We have the experiences of Jesus within our lives. And we are witnesses to who Jesus is, what He did. And we are witnesses to bring a message of peace, repentance, and forgiveness. Because the other thing, the final thing that Jesus gave them was a promise. That He's like, "Hey, I'm going to leave, but just wait a little longer because I'm promising to give you someone that will change everything." You see, at the end of the month, in a couple weeks, we're going to go back into Luke a little bit further, and then we're going to skip over into Acts. We just do that because it's fun, right? It keeps you on your toes. It's going to be Pentecost Sunday. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. And that is the promise that Jesus gave. In verse 49, He said, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." That's the promise. "But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." That sounds pretty good promise. "When He led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, just praising God of what they had seen, what they'd experienced, what was about to come." And in Acts 1, beginning of verse 10, it says this. I don't think we have it on PowerPoint, but I'm just going to read it for you. "They were looking intently." See, this is what happened right after Jesus was taken. "So they were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them." Okay, this gets fun, doesn't it? Right? So they're looking up into the sky, and it's like us when we look at the northern lights, right? We're just like, and they've been happening quite a bit lately. I haven't seen them, but I've heard about it. It's all on social media, so it must be true. So they're looking up into the sky, watching Jesus just like fly, float. Like, doesn't this sound like a bit crazy, wild, exciting? And then, not only that, but there's two men in white that appear next to them. And they say this, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking in the sky?" And they're like, "Well, did you just see that? That was pretty cool. It is done, but we're hoping it'll come back, right?" And then they say this, "You know what? He will come back. He will come back the same way He left. But you've got some stuff to do. You've got a purpose. You've got something that you need to do to be His witnesses." So here's the thing. I mean, Jesus eats with them. He leads them out of town. He blesses them. He starts to fly. They watch Him worship. And the two men come and explain all the things that they had just experienced and that just had happened. And suddenly they know that they are the witnesses that Jesus lived on earth, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus grew up, and Jesus had this ministry where He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He did all these amazing things, but that He died Himself, that He rose, that He appeared, that He hung out with them, that He blessed them, that He ascended, and that He gave us the Spirit, which we'll learn about in a couple weeks. See, the thing is, what about this does not bring optimism in your life? We should be the most optimistic people in the world, shouldn't we? Knowing all of this and believing all of this. Do you believe this? Because if you believe this, then we should be the most optimistic people that exist on this planet. We should be shameless in our optimism. Not in a way of just discounting all the bad things that happen in the world. But we bring a message of hope into the world. Being the witnesses of Jesus, we bring the message of hope into a world, friends, that has no hope left. That's why people are so angry in traffic. But you know what? The people who are angry in traffic should not be Christians. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to judge you. I've been there too. But you know what? When I'm talking to Jesus, generally I'm a little more patient in traffic. Because I'm like, oh man, great. Another stoplight. Cool. That person didn't go ahead of me. That's okay. You know, just a little more time with Jesus. Right? Be thankful for that red light. Be thankful for that person who just won't seem to move. Who's looking on their phone. And just so you know, too, here's a little thing. This is not a friendly honk, right? This is a friendly honk. Beep, beep, right? Like, okay, yeah, I'll go, right? Just beep, beep. Anyway, enough about traffic. You can tell I'm struggling with this. I just bring my struggles out. You know, I'm processing things. You guys are my therapy. So recently I heard a speaker. His name is Larry Osborne. He's written a few books. Really smart guy. And pretty, like, he's not really a controversial guy. He's like 71 years old, and just, he's one of those guys that just doesn't really have anything to prove. And he's like, hey guys, I just want to share a little wisdom with you. So this works for me. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, then just, you know, at least you got a snack, right? So he has this sense of peace and purpose and lives in the presence of Jesus. And I mean, not in like this really fancy way or anything like that. He's just a regular guy, you know? But he just wanted to share a message with us. And he talked about living in a hostile world because we live in a world that is very hostile towards Christianity. Have you felt that a little bit? Right? And hostile towards each other. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of challenging things that are happening within our society that we really struggle with. And he's like, how do you live in a world that is so anxious and so hostile towards the message of Jesus? And the answer is, well, you be a non-anxious presence, but also he talked about the things that, you know, we think that it's us against the world, which is not true. It's not us against the world. It's us to bring the message and the peace of Jesus into the world. And what the world does with that, that's not our responsibility, but we just bring the message of Jesus. We are his witnesses to the world. And he said, you know, there's a lot of times, he has this massive church in California or something. But I think we'd be friends because I was listening to the speaker. I'm like, man, I really like, it's like you get me, right? Every once in a while you have a speaker, you get me. And Larry's that guy. And I talked to him after and I'm like, I think we could be friends. And he's like, I don't know. But no, I didn't say that. I thanked him for his message. Anyway, and he talked about this. And this is something that I've always struggled with as a pastor. And I don't have to struggle with that much within our theological standing within the Church of God when it comes to the book of Revelation. Isn't that a fun book? Have you ever read the book of Revelation? It's great for a good night's sleep, right? No, it's not. Like, you think if this thing was a movie, people would have nightmares for decades, right? It's a very graphic, it's a very scary book. And he's like, people want me to preach on the book of Revelation. And he said, they want me to preach on the book of Revelation because they want me to tell them two things. He said, one, who the Antichrist is and when Jesus is coming. And he said, I don't know. We don't know. And that's not the point of the book of Revelation. And he said, you know what I do? He said, I read the end of the book of Revelation, like the end of the book. And you know what I figured out? We win. In fact, we already won. Jesus. And friends, here's the thing. We live in this world that is more complicated, that is harder to figure out what's right and wrong, harder to be able to stand up for what we believe or what we think we believe or what we think that Jesus said or we think Scripture said. It's hard. And we're like, oh, I just want to hit the reset button again, which is not the point. Because friends, if we believe that Jesus ascended, if we believe that the end of Revelation is that we win, then we don't have to be people filled with anxiety of the world. We don't have to be people who don't live in peace because we have all of these other things, like the presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus in our lives because He's still present. We have a sense of peace. We have a sense of purpose. And we have that promise, that Holy Spirit that indwells us and empowers us and gives us all of these good things that God has promised us, where we can be people who are not anxious about this world. We can be people who are optimistic of the future because it's already determined. And to be people who have two focuses. One, what's God doing around me that I can join Him in? And what is God saying to me? What is God saying to other people? And how can I join Him in that? And to be sensitive to the Spirit to lead us into conversations, lead us into relationships and friendships. And no matter how hard those friendships, relationships, conversations are that happen, that our focus is also on eternity. That gives us that sense of purpose that we are His witnesses. Let's pray together. Just bow our heads. What do you need from Jesus today? As you seek Jesus, what are you looking for from Him? In a new and a fresh and a powerful way, ask Him for it. Are you sensing, or are you seeking a sense of His peace in your life? You just feel anxious all the time and worried, and that you just want more peace. Ask Him for it. Are you looking for a new sense of purpose? You used to have a sense of what God wanted you to do. Now you're like, I just don't know. What is your sense of purpose? Ask Him. And are you believing His promise of His Holy Spirit? Are you seeking a fresh encounter, a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life, relying less on your own efforts and strengths and talents? How is the Holy Spirit ministering to you? Ask Him. Lord, in our lives, we want to be people who are seeking from You a sense of Your presence, Your peace, Your purpose, and Your promise. And God, I pray that we know You are here. We know Your Holy Spirit is here with us. And we, Lord, we invite You. We ask You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would rest on us to empower us, to give us a sense of Your presence, a sense of Your peace, a sense of Your purpose. Or that we would not settle for anything less as Christians than Your presence, Your peace, and Your purpose in our lives. So Lord, we surrender our lives to You. We surrender all of the ways that we hold You at bay. The ways that we put distance between You and us. God, we release those things to You. It could be things that distract us from You. Lord, we want to be people who live in Your presence. So aware of Your presence that instead of trying to go it alone or do it ourselves, Lord, that we invite You into everything that's happening around us. And Lord, we're looking for what You're doing so that we can join You in it. Lord, help us to be Your witnesses. Help us, Lord, to be people who are burdened and seek to reach the lost, to bring hope to a world that's struggling. Lord, help us to follow You, to be more like You,
and to live for you.